After a two-decade-long war on terror, Americans have grown tired of what has come to be known as forever wars. But just because Americans aren't willing to fight doesn't mean the wars go away. Around the world, local and civil wars, like the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, are dramatically increasing in number, intensity, and duration. 2023 saw the highest number of violent conflicts since World War II. I'm here with Natasha Hall, Senior Fellow at CSIS Middle East Program, to discuss how U.S. foreign policy has fallen short in these protracted conflicts and affected great power competition. Natasha, how has the United States tried to address conflicts abroad in recent years?
Well, U.S. foreign policy tends to sidestep the drivers of these conflicts and their discontents. It's really taken a downsized approach to how it handles conflict in regions like the Middle East. And increasingly, the United States deals with these conflicts by encouraging deals between strongmen and addressing what I would say are the inevitable reemergence of conflict and human rights violations through humanitarian aid. However, increasingly anemic humanitarian aid, disconnected from real sustainable solutions, has not been effective, and it really cannot end conflicts. So even in the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, the U.S. government has favored elite bargains with Arab states, otherwise known as the Abraham Accords, and dealt with the Palestinians through aid. And I think the October 7th Hamas attack and the current Israeli offensive in Gaza have shown that this strategy is simply not working.
Given popular opinion among Americans, why does the United States get involved in these conflicts? Isn't it more concerned with great power competition?
Yeah, it's true that policymakers increasingly see these protracted conflicts as being sort of peripheral or even irrelevant to great power competition. However, I think that this approach ignores two major considerations. First, the U.S. response or lack of response to these conflicts creates an opportunity for other great powers to intervene or criticize U.S. hypocrisy or ineptitude. And second, reignited conflicts have the power to quickly inflame an unstable region or an unstable world, which can endanger U.S. interests. For example, as the war in Gaza has escalated, the Syrian regime stepped up attacks in northwestern Syria. Iranian-backed militants launched attacks on bases and facilities housing U.S. personnel in Iraq and Syria. And obviously, Houthi attacks on shipping vessels forced major companies like BP to suspend services through the Red Sea. So all of these events ultimately distracted the United States from what it wants to be focused on, but they still occupy its time, energy, and resources.
How have the United States competitors benefited from these types of protracted conflicts?
I think competitors benefit in various ways. First of all, Russia and China gain from the United States' distraction and the redirection of U.S. resources to these conflict zones. For example, Russia will gain directly from U.S. efforts to provide military support to Israel because it's diverting its attention and resources from Ukraine. Competitors can also gain by intervening directly in local conflicts that the United States considers less strategic. For example, in Sudan, Russia has helped offset the damage of global sanctions by carting off the country's gold, and they continue to push for a Red Sea port. And aid has played a big role in these interventions as well, especially in places like Syria, where Russian protection has allowed the Assad regime to divert aid to their allies, effectively making ineffective one of the U.S. ways of containing these crises.
So U.S. competitors are benefiting in real, tangible ways. How is U.S. foreign policy affecting less tangible things like reputation?
Well, I think it's clear that Russia and China gain from arguing that the United States is hypocritical and ineffective on the world stage. And for many countries in the global South, support for Ukraine waned because of U.S. double standards in Iraq and Israel. And while China and Russia may protect a state's ability to impede aid and commit violence, for 153 countries at the UN General Assembly, the United States is doing the same for Israel at the UN Security Council.
So what can the United States do to more effectively manage protracted conflicts in these peripheral areas?
Well, I think that the United States needs to take them more seriously and needs to commit to rigorous diplomacy to resolve conflicts and properly manage crises, especially when partners don't want to resolve issues within our time frame. And this especially holds true for the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, where the United States has unique leverage. Otherwise, I think that the damage to U.S. interests will likely be long-lasting. Conflicts in Africa and in the Middle East are very much connected to what's happening elsewhere in Europe and Asia. And if members of the U.S. government look closely, they'll see that these regions are where global competition is currently playing out as well.
Thank you for joining me, Natasha.
Thanks, Leah.